There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Thank you for joining us for the second hour of our show this evening. If you were tuned in for the first hour, you got to hear the dream work speak with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She was on hand to talk to us about your dreams and did some great interpretations for the people that called in. Thank you very much for being a part of that. We've got Rosemary back with us for the second hour. And again, for those of you that are just tuning in, Rosemary Ellen Guiley is one of the few paranormal experts I actually go to in the field that I feel really knows her stuff and is out there. She's got over 30 books covering just about every aspect of the paranormal. And she's on hand with us tonight along with Carl Petri. And Carl has joined Rosemary for the second hour here of our show. We're going to be discussing a case that they've been working on and covering for quite some time. Carl Petri is a psychic, an independent filmmaker as well. He works as a forensics videographer and photographer, managing his own company, Metro Video Productions. He's an exceptionally gifted psychic since childhood, and Carl's helped solve cases involving homicides, missing persons, kidnappings. He works with paranormal investigators to assess haunted locations and photographic evidence of paranormal phenomena. Two of his most exceptional cases became the basis for his films, The Ghost of Angela Webb and The Larksville Ghost. He produced Requiem for a Vampire, directed by independent filmmaker John, is it Auricchio?
Auricchio.
Okay. And together, Carl and John founded Gold Castle Film Production Company. Their first project is the ghost film, The Haunting of Danbury House, scheduled for release in the fall of 2006. Carl lives in, is it Kearney?
Kearney.
Okay, Kearney, New Jersey. And thank you very much for joining us with Rosemary tonight, Carl. I appreciate you coming on the show.
And I appreciate being on this great show.
Well, it's great. Now, we've got, you sent us out. Now, this is actually the case we're going to talk about. You've made into a movie, which is, as you were explaining to me before the show, it's kind of more like a documentary and
it's a docudrama.
Docudrama, okay. And why don't you start off with this? Now, how exactly did you get involved in this case? And give us a little bit of your background.
I had a television show on Time Warner Cable in Manhattan.
Okay.
And it dealt with the paranormal. And on the show, I also had psychic Paula Roberts, also known as the British psychic. And a woman came to her for a reading. And when Paula was giving her the reading, she says, "You're surrounded by a lot of people in your home." And the woman answered by saying, "I live alone." But Paula, being Paula, said, "No, you're surrounded by a lot of people. I could see it."
Uh-huh.
And a woman's reply was, "Well, if you count the ghosts, I am. Would you like to see them?" Paula said, "Yes, I would." And, of course, she contacted me. And the house that this woman had, we'll call Angela Webb, was in western New Jersey, right near the Pennsylvania border. And we went out to the house. I expected that it was really nothing, or we really have to search really hard to find any kind of entities in the house. But the minute we got to the house, I was mistaken, because you didn't have to wait. The ghost actually met you at the door. And it was the most haunted place I've ever been in.
Now, when you said they met you at the door, now, do you have the ability with your psychic ability to see ghosts?
Yes.
Or do you just sense them?
I can see them and sense them.
Okay.
Where other psychics that I work with can sense them.
Uh-huh.
Other psychics will turn to me and they'll ask me, "Do you see them?" And I'll say yes, and I'll tell them what they are, male, female, or whatever, children.
So you made the approach. You get right there, and they're at the door waiting for you.
Yes.
Okay.
The woman answered the door. I looked over her right shoulder, and I could see an apparition walking behind her. And I looked at Paula. She looked at me, and I said, "I've never seen this before." We went into the place with a video camera, because we're going to use it for the show. We're going to actually shoot Paula and I doing an investigation in the house and cut it up and use it for 2 weeks' worth of shows. And we got phenomena on the tape. We actually captured a ghost walking right in front of her. We had the woman who had the house, she left. We had doors opening, people walking in. Of course, there was no one there. Loud noises on top of us. These ghosts wanted to let us know that they were there, and they knew that we were investigating the house. It was absolutely phenomenal. I never experienced anything like that in my life.
Well, that sounds crazy. So were the ghosts aware that the minute you walked in that you could see them as well?
I had a feeling that they knew that I could see them, because I would actually stare at them, where in a sense they were staring back, where when they were around Paula, you just walked right by her.
Now, does that seem to bother or affect the spirits when they realize that you can see them as well?
Actually, it probably affects me more than it does them, because when I'm looking at these entities, I realize I'm looking into the eyes of dead people who are looking back at me.
That'd be a little creepy.
Very.
So now you're there with these. Now, do these people appear to you in the form that they were in life?
Yes.
At the time of their death ever? Mangled up, gross, kind of decaying,
no,
anything like Hollywood shows?
No, not at all. They were just the woman that I saw was probably in her late 20s, probably early 30s. There was also a young boy there that was, I would say, in his late teens. The house was, I mean, everywhere you went, there was an entity. Hmm. We went into the barn, and I could sense a person who hung himself there. Now, I was going through the entire house, writing all this stuff, writing it down, and we found out later that all our impressions, whatever were, the woman who owned the house.
Okay.
She did her own investigation, and everything that we said was true.
So she was able to corroborate the history of the house and
yep.
some of the deaths that took place there.
Absolutely.
Now, the people that you were seeing, was there a certain time frame that they appeared from? I mean, were they from the 60s, 70s?
From different ages. The boy was from, like, the late 1940s.
Okay.
The woman that was walking around the house was probably from the 1930s. The other entity that was walking through the living room was probably from the 1800s.
Okay.
And the man who hung himself was probably back in the 1800s.
See, that's what's interesting to me. And Carl, you know, being a psychic and being able to see spirits, you probably run across this more. As we do these shows more and more and we talk to people, I'm wondering if there is a layering effect in time or a major disturbance that happened in the 1800s to kind of open this rift, because 90% of the people that we speak to, the spirits that they see all seem to come from around the turn of the century or 1800s. We all have the couple of spirits that show up that are look very, you know, contemporary or within the last 50 years. But for the most part of it, there are so many of the spirits that show up from the 1800s. Do you have that experience as you go along? I mean, are you seeing more and more of the older spirits that are still hanging around?
I would say almost it's quite the opposite.
Really?
A lot of the spirits from within the last 50 years.
Okay.
Of course, I do see the older ones, you know, from the 1800s.
Right.
Or even the 1700s.
Now, do you feel that they're here because they're trapped? They don't know they're dead? I mean, you know, I've had some of the psychics say, come on, they know they're dead. They can't interact. They're just there kind of in this ethereal plane. But then I don't understand their predisposition to hang around.
Well, see, there's a couple things you have to understand, too, that some are, which we term the phrase, ghosts. And there are others that I call imprints. Now, imprints and ghosts are two different things. As a matter of fact, I was in doing an investigation with Rosemary Guiley, and we were in Hackettstown, New Jersey. And this person was experiencing what he said were ghosts in the house. But I went into the house with Rosemary, and I saw imprints. As I was standing there, I was watching this woman having a conversation with her father about going to a dance and a thing called the dance card. She was very concerned about. And
So you're talking imprints, you mean, are more like what everybody else or a good portion of people refer to as residual or non-intelligent hauntings, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, you know, and these things, you know, I'm staring at them, I'm hearing them, I could mount the words that she's saying and what his return is, you know, what he's saying in return. But they're not ghosts. And
okay.
I assured
right.
the personnel in the house, that these are just, you know, like I said, imprints. But they're not ghosts.
Okay.
However, when you go to some places and you actually see these things walking around, they're not imprints.
Right. And that's what you were running into at this house, correct?
Yeah, this house is extraordinary. I know Paula Roberts did an investigation at the General Wayne Inn. She did it for Unsolved Mysteries
okay.
for Robert Stack.
Sure.
And she was there, and that was considered like the most haunted place in eastern Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
And she said, that doesn't hold a candle to the Angela Webb house.
One of the reasons that I find this case so fascinating, Dave, is I call it a soul-eating house because it's got very unusual properties. It seems that if you die while you own the house, you become a ghost trapped in the house.
Hmm.
Doesn't matter where you die. If you own the house, when you die, you're stuck in it as a ghost. And there's some very unusual ghosts there. There's a nymphomaniac, a suicide victim, a boy hit by a car, a lot of other entities. There may have been incest going on in the house. Plus, it's in a really weird area where I think some geophysical properties also contribute to the haunting. It's an area, for example, with some marked UFO activity. And a lot of times we find a range of phenomena in certain areas that I would call them vortexes or portals. You
right.
know, they just seem to hold paranormal energies and phenomena and increase the manifestation of them. And Carl just ran into one weird thing after another in this house, and it's still going on.
Now, when did you begin doing the investigation of this house?
I started to do the investigation in 2001.
Okay. And is it still owned by the same people now?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, what happened is, I guess I could tell you what happened.
Well, yeah, we'll go back to what happened to them, but let's finish up with your story. So,
okay.
Rosemary brought up, it's almost like a vortex that's kind of trapped the spirits that were involved in this house if they owned it at the time.
Right.
It's almost like the Roach Hotel. You go in, you don't come out kind
that's
of deal.
Absolutely true.
Okay.
There was a previous owner that... See, when all this phenomena was happening in this house, Angela Webb started to do her own investigation because she really wasn't afraid of the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
She would yell at him and scream at him, but she, you know, was not about to move. And she went down to the Historical Society of the town, and she said, you know, I live in such and such a house. I'm looking for information. Well, they came out immediately with all these stacks of books and papers and all this. And then she just said to him, how did you get all this information so quick? And it said to her that, well, anybody who buys your house comes here for the same information.
Hmm.
And then they said, there is a woman who owned your house, but she's in a sanatorium.
Oh, geez.
And they told her to go visit her, which they did. And the woman was, you know, she was screaming at Angela, sell the house. Sell the house, because if you don't, if you die, you'll be there. And
hey, Carl, this sounds like a good premise for a movie.
Well, you're very right. Hollywood is interested in it.
Wow, this is... Okay, so now, how old was Angela, if you don't mind us asking?
Angela was in her early 40s.
Okay.
Now, what happened, what happened with her is that she, like I said, we were down there, she invited us there, and what happened is that it was so obvious. So the things that I was recording were so mind-boggling that I contacted the University of Maryland, Dr. Stephen Browdy, who's he's a professor down at the university, and he also works in parapsychology.
Okay.
I also contacted Dr. Joanne McMahon. She's a parapsychologist that works out of West Orange, New Jersey, and a psychic researcher, George Hansen. Now, I had so many people, including Rosemary Guiley, I had all these people ready to go back to the house because they said, this is great. People who are into the field are going to love this because this phenomenon comes right at you.
Mm-hmm.
So we were all set up, and what happened is Grenada British Television got a copy of my tape.
Hmm.
and they saw the phenomena on the tape, and they were taken by it. So we all met with Angela in 71st Street in New York City, and we made arrangements to have the Grenada Television with Dr. Browdy, George Hansen, Rosemary Guiley, and Dr. McMahon. We were all going to be there to capture, or, you know, to be a part of this, great ghost experiment and the investigation. So all was going well until after our meeting, when everybody was leaving the apartment, Angela Webb was handing out her business cards to everyone, and she said, "I know this is a big thing. I want you to call me if you have any problems." So as she's handing out the cards, and I didn't know where she worked, she handed me the business card, and I stood there, I looked at the card, and I looked at her, and I said, "Oh, you work at the World Trade Center?" She says, "Yeah, for a firm called Cantor Fitzgerald."
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened is the airplane went through the window and killed her.
Oh, no.
So what happened, of course, we were all in shock. We were just hoping that she never went to work that day, but she did.
Hmm.
And we just were dumbfounded. We're speechless. We didn't know what to say or what to do. You know, we called Grenada. Grenada said, "Well, can we ask the next of kin if we could go in there?" But, of course, the family was devastated.
Right.
I went to her memorial service, which was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with Paula. And we met with the parents. We identified ourselves, and the parents said, "Oh, we know who you are." And so Paula asked them very politely, she says, "Did you ever go to the house?" And they looked at it and it says, "We went once. We were so terrified of the ghosts in that house that we decided we would never, ever go back." Now, when the government wanted her DNA, the parents refused to go back into the house. She sent a friend into the house to go get samples of her hair from the combs and brushes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they were terrified of the house. When we were leaving this memorial service, we said goodbye to him. We turned around to walk away, and the father said, "Oh, by the way," and we turned around, and he says, "Looks like the house has one more ghost."
Hmm.
And that was his daughter that he was talking about. That's how powerful this house had of these entities.
So that's what I was going to ask you. At this funeral now, you're psychic. You have the ability to see dead people, and so many of us have heard that when you die, you're at your own funeral. I mean, was she there? Did you sense her presence?
No, her body was never found.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know, they just had like a memorial service for her.
I gotcha.
Now, when the house, after the house was sold, okay,
mm-hmm.
The first people who bought it, a month later, in Huntington County Court in New Jersey, they sued the real estate agent because they said, "You sold us a haunted house. We want our money back." Now, in the state of New Jersey, whether you believe in ghosts or not, if the house has a reputation of being haunted, which this house did, you have to divulge that to the buyers.
Sure.
Which they didn't do. They got their money back. Then another couple bought the house. They stayed there for about 2.5 months, about 10 weeks. And it was in Milford, New Jersey, the Milford police saw a father, mother, and their two children walking down the road, walking away from the house about 2 o'clock in the morning, saying they could never go back to the house.
So there's definitely something going on. I mean, this is an amazing story that you're telling with all that's going on.
Well, it gets better.
Well, why don't we cover that? We're going to get more into this story and talk a little bit more about it and get into the history that continues to go on with this and talk more about the spirits. We'll do that right after we pay a few bills here and go to commercial break. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Show. Our guests this evening are Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Carl Petrie. We'll be right back after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, "How could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?"
I am so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
Jeff Rusterholz with Edina Realty understands that the housing market is changing, and he's prepared to work with you to put together an aggressive plan to ready your home and help you sell quickly. It's Jeff's goal as your full-service real estate agent specializing in the Twin Cities to provide you with superior service at all times. His local expertise and extensive real estate experience will benefit you whether you're serious about buying or selling a home. By taking time to really listen to your needs and desires, Jeff Rusterholz with Edina Realty will help you find the home of your dreams. And if you're selling a home, his real estate expertise and many effective marketing programs will give you the exposure and edge you need to sell your home quickly and for top dollar. Jeff prides himself on providing unparalleled service, and he looks forward to developing a long-term relationship with you. Visit him online at movewithjeff.com for more details, or call 651-690-8479 to get started on securing your future. That number again, 651-690-8479.
If you read Taxpayer Mag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taxpayer Mag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar point at them and yell, "Boo!" One of the ghosts yells back, "Boo hoo!" And the ghost at the bar yells back, "Well, you don't have to cry about it." Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard! I salute you!
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Thank you for joining us back here in the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guest this evening is Carl Petrie and Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Rosemary, as you know, has been on our show before, and she's been here to share with us her stories about the paranormal. She brought with her Carl Petrie, who is also a paranormal investigator and a psychic. We're talking about one of the best cases that he's had his hands on and has been a part of. It's called The Ghosts of Angela Webb. He's also done a docudrama movie about this event, and it's just amazing. For those of you just tuning in, it's a house, as Rosemary put it, a kind of a soul-sucking house that once you've become an owner of this house, if you're to pass away in this home, your soul becomes trapped and becomes part of the history and rich ghost lineage of this home. And as we just heard before the break, Angela Webb was one of the victims, unfortunately, of the 9/11 tragedy. She was at work that day when the plane came through and killed her. And we just went to break. Carl was kind of telling us about the history and about the people that had bought the house after her. And correct me if I'm wrong now, so two people owned the house directly after Angela, and both were out within 6 months.
Right. They okay. were out. Then a third couple bought it, and these were, this was a gay couple. Two men bought it. And they decided that they were told about the house. The movie came out already. I already came out with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the local video store had, and of course, there's a line of people that wanted to rent it because
sure.
they knew of the house.
Right.
And they got very angry. They went down to the video store, and they said they would appreciate if they would just take this movie off the shelf. And the video store manager said, "No way, because I got a line waiting to rent this."
Hmm.
And they said, well, there's nothing happening in the house. So what happened is a friend of mine who lives down the road from this particular house, he said, "Carl, the house, I mean, I see their car there, but it looks like the car never moved." So I said, "Well, why don't you put a piece of chalk on the tire to see if the tire moved?"
Right.
So he did, and the car didn't move. What happened is that they were so frightened of the house
mm-hmm.
that they moved out, but they didn't want to tell anybody, so they parked their car there. They would come in, retrieve their mail, and then go wherever they moved to, and then they sold the house. Now another couple bought the house. They're living there now. My friend's wife stopped by, welcomed them to the neighborhood.
So it's 2006 now.
Right.
She passed away September 11th, 2001. So in the last 4.5 years, there's been four owners of this house. Okay.
And the last one, she said, you know, she didn't want to even mention about the Angela Webb house or any, you know, about the ghost or anything. She said, "Boy, these old houses, they probably creak and things, don't they?" And the woman, her eyes bugged out, and she says, "Are you kidding me?" And she starts saying, "This house," and the husband said, "Nothing happens in the house here. Nothing." And he just kept on looking at her like, "Keep your mouth shut. Don't
right.
talk about it."
Right.
When I was in the house, and I was talking to Angela Webb, there was a bookshelf behind me, and the bookshelf was built into the wall, and the wall was built out of field stones. And she kept her, Angela Webb kept her cookbooks there. And as we're having a discussion with Angela, the cookbooks start slamming across the shelves. I mean, not falling, but slamming, like wham, wham, wham. And we jumped because it was so loud.
Now, Rosemary, had you had a chance to get in this house before this whole event went down with the death of Angela?
I did not see the most violent activity, no. And I was going to be part of the follow-up investigation on this. Right now, the current owners don't want investigators coming in, so we're doing research about related phenomena in the area to try and find patterns of things that might help explain this particular house. Are there other houses that have similar phenomena in it? Angela acknowledged that she had had sexual encounters with one or more of the ghosts as well.
So by sexual encounters, they groped her body parts or they forced sex on her?
No, they forced sex on her. I asked her about that. I asked if she ever felt that she had a intimacy with the entities in the house. I was very careful how I phrased that. Of course, Paula Roberts looked at me as if I had two heads when I asked her that. And so she looked at me and she says, if you're asking me did I ever have sex with the ghost, she says, the answer is yes.
Mm. Well, the only other thing we've ever heard that was the entity case. I mean, I know, I believe it's been out there before and people have talked about it, but that's the other high-profile case. So this was, she was forced sexually by spirits, and did she feel she was forced by more than one spirit in the house into sexual activity?
Well, her reaction was so, how can I put it, violent when she looked at me.
Right.
That I didn't want to go any further than what she said.
Oh, I understand, sure.
She said she did have it, and I also got the impression because when, the reason why I asked that is because when I was getting images of her, I could see that she was having sex with these entities, or a entity. And I thought it may not have been a male entity either.
Mm.
It may have been female. And that's also reflective in the film because people asked me, why did I put it in there? For shock value? And I said, no, because it's actually what she told me.
Interesting. So, Rosemary, you were saying, though, so you didn't get to see any of the major activity going on during any of the investigation, and then you've been kind of cut off from being able to investigate into this case any further from going their standpoint, but you can do the research and the history of the house and the area.
And I hope to get back into the house at some point, yes. We didn't expect the house to be so active, and especially in such a bizarre manner in the beginning. Most of the time when you go into a haunted house, you pick up, like Carl was explaining, impressions that are more remnants than anything else rather than activity involving entities who seem to be intelligent and interactive with the living, especially so many of them. And actually, sexual encounters with non-physical entities, including ghosts, I wouldn't say it's common, but it's not rare either. There are a lot of cases on record. And I'm not talking like exorcist style or marriage.
Right. Well, I've heard of groping and, you know, breasts being fondled or buttocks and things, but never, you know, I mean, only the only case, like I said, besides this one was the entity case where I heard of actual total sexual contact.
Mm-hmm. It has been documented throughout history, and like I said, it's not rare, but it's not common either. What makes this case so unusual? Is the range of ghosts and the kinds of things that they did, the poltergeist activities.
Mm-hmm.
Angela would invite her friends over. They would come once and then not ever want to come back. She even had a party once where she thought if she brought a lot of people in the house, it would kind of push the ghosts out, show them who was boss, that sort of thing. A number of them had terrifying experiences in the night that some of them wouldn't talk about. They just said they were getting out as soon as they could. They never wanted to come back.
Carl, can I ask you this now? You being a psychic,
yes,
and being able to see these things, and I know, Rosemary, that you have psychic abilities as well, but since Carl was more there for the initial longer investigations, are the other spirits there aware of each other, or are they all kind of in their own little paradigm. I mean, they don't see each other, don't interact, but they all do their own little thing.
My impression is they know that each one is there. They know the existence of the others.
Okay.
And I believe that they actually interact with each other. I never encountered anything like this in my life. This is truly, truly a unique situation.
Now, have you been in contact at all with the new owners of the home?
Me personally, no, because I really didn't want them to know who I was.
Okay.
However, the neighbors. Now, like Rosemary hit on it before, it's about this whole area. Within walking distance from the Angela Webb house, I was asked to go to another home, which was built recently. And I went there, and they said, what do you sense about here? And I said, death. And I went down in the basement. I said, a woman hung herself here. And they said, that's true. I showed where she hung herself and why she picked that spot to be where she wanted to hang her, you know, hang herself.
Well, the reason I ask about contacting them is, even though they may not be keen on the idea of having investigators, perhaps they would understand as a, you know, a plea or a reach out from Angela's family that they have a concern that Angela is still trapped in the house, whether they believe it or not, and to at least offer a blessing to see if they can cleanse the house. I mean, is that something that's ever been offered to them? You know, when people, you know, I might think you're a nut for coming to me and saying my house is haunted and the last four people there, da 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 da. But if I knew, you know, well, you're not going to be in here photographing, you're not going to be in here, you know, drinking goat's blood and dancing around naked, I'd let you come in, and if it made you feel better, feeling that your daughter's spirit would be released from this house, if you wanted to come in and pray in the rooms and anoint the doors, I would have no problem with it.
Yeah, but see, that's you.
Right.
It just so happens that the person who owns this house is a lawyer.
Okay.
Now, what's bad about that is that, you know, if a lawyer sees you coming in, whatever, you know, he could get very upset. Who knows what he could try to sue you for? He could say that you're trying to devalue his real estate by perpetuating some myth. I mean, a ghost could be dancing on his living room coffee table.
Right.
And, you know, I work with attorneys all the time, and they'll say, you know, if there's no paperwork that this ghost has, I don't believe it exists.
Okay.
And you could just tell that when he told his wife, like, there's nothing happening here, he was angry. He didn't want her to divulge what was going on in the house.
Well, I would think there's enough organizations dedicated to researching this that wouldn't it be possible for a bunch of organizations to get together and pony up the cash to try to buy this house if it's such a remarkable place and it's holding all that energy and all those spirits here? I would think that'd be the research mecca for people here in the United States to be able to go to and have one self-contained home. I mean, wouldn't that be, would that be an option? I mean, do you think that
would be a great option? It would be a wonderful thing. But the house is worth about, I think they sold it for like $650,000. It's a very large piece of property. The house is, I mean, it's an old farmhouse, but it has also a huge barn on it. Angela spent a lot of money into it. She put a beautiful pool in.
Well, let's set Rosemary up in the driveway autographing books, and Tim and I will sell lemonade. We'll see if we can raise the money.
We'll raise the money in no time.
That's right.
Oh,
exactly.
Sure.
We'll call it paranormal aid. So, all right, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, you've got, so this house has changed hands. You can't get back in there. Where does that leave you now? What are your goals to go forward?
Well, I
know you said there's other spirits happening in other homes. Are you starting to get more and more of that in that general area?
Yes. The house that was, I would say, less than a quarter mile, a woman hung herself. Around the corner, somebody committed suicide. I brought a few people, you know, to the area to show them what the house looked like, and their impression was, I don't like this entire valley. I don't like this. I just get bad vibes from this whole piece of the road here. And I agree with them. It's a very eerie part of this particular road that it's on.
Well, Rosemary, can I ask Rosemary real quick? Rosemary, you mentioned earlier, and I'm sorry, we're having a little bit of trouble hearing you again, Rosemary, but you mentioned earlier about it being kind of like a soul-sucking house. Are there documented cases where there is an entity or something that has the ability to actually hold the souls from going on and keeping them locked into this, into an area?
Well, I have not encountered another haunting like this. there are many, many cases of souls being trapped in certain areas,
mm-hmm.
Earthbound, for a variety of reasons. And it often seems to be that they don't know they're dead or they have unfinished business. But an actual location that prevents you from making a full transition is unknown to me in the folklore. That is to say, there couldn't be other cases, but it's so rare that I'm not aware of them. One of my questions would be, is would a releasement help any of these? And is it the full soul that's trapped or just part of their personality that becomes animated so that it seems like the complete personality? I'd like to know more about what it is that's stuck there, what piece of the personality is stuck there. And that's why I'm interested in doing some more research on the geophysical properties of the area, some correlation with other paranormal phenomena, like I mentioned, the UFO activity. And it is characteristic of highly haunted areas that there's often something else going on as well.
So you feel almost like it's a giant electromagnetic field almost kind of grabbing onto these energies and holding on to them.
Yes.
It might not be a entity or a demonic or an inhuman that's kind of holding on to these things. It just might be the presence of minerals in the earth or whatever the electromagnetic field is.
My feeling is that it's not like an intelligent entity doing this, but rather it is a configuration of circumstances and physical characteristics that have made this haunting possible. For example, there could be an unusual amount of activity in this house, more so than other houses, that gets magnified over time so that the thought form energy that's there becomes far greater than, you would say, the sum of the individual hauntings. Now, there is precedence for that sort of thing. There's a Castle Lepp in Ireland, for example.
Well, why don't we talk a little bit more about the different the hauntings that are similar to this type of event? We'll come back from a quick break here, and we'll talk more about that with you, Rosemary, and find out a little bit more about the stories with Carl as well. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Our guests are Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Carl Petrie. They're telling us an amazing story tonight about a real haunting. You'll want to hear more, so do we. We'll be right back after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
Women today are busier than ever, making it harder and harder to take care of ourselves. I'm Robin Leverton, owner of Ciao Bella Permanent Cosmetics in Brooklyn Park. We specialize in beautiful, natural-looking eyeliner, eyebrows, and lip color. We provide professional and personalized service in a sanitary environment. When you choose Ciao Bella, you are guaranteed the gentlest method available. I'll work with you one-on-one to help you achieve your desired look. We offer a full, rich color palette that will accentuate your natural beauty. If you have allergies to conventional makeup, suffer from hay fever, watery eyes, or the embarrassment of little or faint brow color, and you want a look that will stay fresh all day, every day, then we have the perfect solution for you. Time is a rare commodity, and with Ciao Bella Permanent Cosmetics, we help you take control of your time by giving you a low-maintenance, fresh appearance that you will love every day. Book your appointment by January 31st, and you will receive a 25% discount. You deserve to look your best, and at Ciao Bella, we want to help you. Call 612-306-4961. That's 612-306-4961.
In the Amityville Horror, the ghost told them to get out the house. White people stayed in there. Now, that's a hit and a half for your ass. A ghost say, get the out. I would just tip the out the door. They walked and looked in the toilet bowl with blood in the toilet.
They said, that's peculiar.
I would have been in the house and said, oh, baby, this is beautiful. We got a chandelier hanging up here, kids outside playing. It's a beautiful neighborhood. We ain't got nothing to wear. I really love them. This is really nice. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
We're the type of guys who would have stayed just for the extra company. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Good evening and welcome back to the Darkness. This is Dave Schrader, your host, along with me, my co-host, Tim Dennis. This evening we're speaking to Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who is an author of over 31 different books on the all fields of the paranormal. We've also got Carl Petrie, who joins us. He's a psychic and an independent filmmaker and a paranormal investigator, and they're sharing with us a story of an amazing story. It's the haunting of Angela Webb and her ghost house. Just for those of you that have missed it, I apologize. You're going to definitely have to check this out in the archives. The story is unbelievable. It's just amazing what was going on. Before we went to the break, we were talking to Rosemary a little bit about this type of haunting and if there was anything similar to this type of trapped entities, and she was just starting to talk to us a little bit about another one that she was familiar with. Go ahead, Rosemary. What were we talking about with the castle?
One of the cases that the Angela Webb House reminds me of is a castle in Ireland by the name of Castle Lepp, and it has a dungeon in it where a lot of people were brutally tortured and murdered. That castle seems to be haunted by a thought form entity that it's like the aggregation of all the negative things that happened there, and it's become kind of, it's called a thing or an it, and it's a kind of a monstrous half animal, half monster sort of thing. It's really more of a thought form energy than an actual entity itself. I'm not implying that the Angela Webb House is haunted by anything like it, but it seems that the collection of negative things that have happened there may have exacerbated the haunting energy so that it's far more magnified than other places where we find multiple ghosts.
That's unreal. Yeah, you'd think, though, with all this energy, like you're saying, you know, that's what I've been told. Poltergeist isn't necessarily a ghost. It's more of an expended energy from usually a prepubescent teen girl or a menopausal woman, or in some cases, people that have, you know, mental disturbances that can unleash this poltergeist activity to have things happen. Now, you had a chance to actually talk with Angela, Carl. Did you feel that she had any mental impairment at all?
Not at all.
Okay.
She's pretty down to earth.
You don't feel she was inviting these things in at all. They were already just part of the foundation, part of what was there, and she moved into a bad environment. Is that right?
Yes. And okay. When the books in the kitchen started to fling it themselves across the shelves and making a racket, we both looked at her and we said, "How can you stay in a house like this?"
Right.
And she looked at us and she said, "It's my house. I paid for it." And I tell them, if you don't stop it, I will bring dogs in here. I will bring children in here, and you won't know what to do with them. And she went on and on and on about it because she really got angry. She kept on saying, "This is my house." And she started, like, screaming it. And so, you know, she was really hooked into this house. And she had, like, almost like an agreement with them. Like, if you misbehave, I'm telling you off, and you better stop it.
But she'd been sexually molested.
Yes.
But what kind of agreement would that be? I mean, boy, you know, touch my butt once, hey, knock it off, do it again, or get aggressive like that, and I don't think you could have, you know, seen how fast I'd have moved out of that house. It's just unbelievable to me that somebody would be that strong-willed that these kind of events and horrific events would keep you there.
That's true. I mean, we found her to be very unusual. Because, I mean, I don't think anyone could stay in that house, and it proves it by the people who moved in and out so quickly. And, of course, prior to Angela buying the house, other families that were in there would tell the neighbors that these horrible goings-ons that were happening at the house. And they couldn't stand it. They moved out. So the house had a reputation of being haunted before she moved in. But for her, it's like, you're not going to move me out. This is my house. And she would be very livid about it.
Have you tried to do follow-up at all with any of the prior owners of the home after Angela to see if they would break down and tell you anything, you know, kind of off the record? Of course, if you said that, then you couldn't tell me, right?
No, the thing is that the people who moved out of the house, they moved far, far away. I tried to contact them. They just didn't want to be bothered. They left no forwarding address. They were just gone. As a matter of fact, when Angela Webb bought the house, the previous owner left so quickly, he left his furniture there. He just says, "We're leaving." He got his family, and they left. He just sold the house the way it was.
Well, isn't there a record when you buy a house? Isn't there, I can't remember, Tim, what's the term for that? Not the rider or the addendum. I can't remember the term for it, but where they own the house, and it's documented through the county can't you go back a couple and see how many people owned it and in what period of time and see if there's somebody you could contact that way?
I'm sure I could.
Okay.
You know,
well, that's probably part of what the investigation is that Rosemary and you are working on now.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, boy, you know, not trying to run you off on this part of the show, but as you get more information about that, we'd love to have you back on the show to talk more about what you're finding out. I mean, was it a constant turnstile door going there where people were in and out of that house? And if so, were you able to contact more of the people that once lived in the home and get any more stories?
I'd really love to find out. Everybody who went to her last party, she had a lot of people from Cancer Fitzgerald. She had all her coworkers from Cancer Fitzgerald at her party.
Mm-hmm.
And they all died in 9/11. Mm-hmm. So everybody who attended the party died. Except one person who was invited who was away on business when 9/11 happened. He heard of the movie and he called me. He tracked me down. And then he said, you know, did you make this movie? And he says, because I don't say, her name was not Angela Webb, by the way.
Right, I kind of figured that.
Okay. So he said, is her name? And he gave me her name. And I said, yes. And he says, she worked for Cancer Fitzgerald. I said, that's correct. And he says, the house is on, and he mentioned the actual road that it was on. And I said, who is this? And he goes, I worked with her.
Mm.
And he says, I watched your film, and you're 100% accurate with it, which made me feel good because, you know, I wanted to make sure that everything I did was, you know, as perfect as could be.
Now, your movie is available through, is it available through Amazon, through
Blockbuster? All you have to do is, it's Alpha Distributors have it. So you could just go to the internet, Google the ghost. And a ghost is plural, G-H-O-S-T-S of Angela Webb. That's W-E-B-B.
Okay.
And you'll see all the different places to sell it, including eBay. You can buy it on eBay.
Okay. Well, I'll try to find a link, too, that we can set up at our website. But the movie is out there. Recommend to get a chance to see the movie and see this for yourself. Again, it's a docudrama, so it's, you know, an acted movie. It's not an actual documentary through the whole thing. But as Carl was telling me before this happened, the words that were spoken and the conversations were actual dictations from the real conversations that you had with her.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not, you know, faked. It's not, you know, reinterpreted by Hollywood or anything. It's the actual conversations as they occurred.
See, you got to understand, too, that this is a low-budget film.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Hollywood. Now, because it's low-budget, I tried to, you know, it was easy for me to keep to the actual story.
Sure.
Without going into, you know, things flying around and all kinds of special effects. This will tell you exactly what happened at the house the best possible way.
Now, you go on quite a bit of hauntings like these, John. You're not like this, but, I mean, you go on a lot of different investigations and check out a lot of things and being a psychic. Do you ever have any of these entities that will follow you back home, or do they contact you prior to going?
Both. Sometimes I'll get a call, let's say like on a murder case.
Mm-hmm.
And just after the call, I'll immediately start seeing things, and I don't know anything about these people or the circumstances, but I start getting visions. Then I go there, I can actually see visualize things. And, you know, and that's how I come to my conclusion. And when I go home at night, it stays with me, and I keep seeing more and more and more information. Some people could turn it off. I can't.
My next question. So they're there all the time?
Yes. And then after a while, because it could take maybe a couple weeks or a month, then it goes away. By that time, I'm working on something else, and there it is.
Hmm.
Like I said, what's unusual is that I could see the entities. When other people are there with meters or trying to locate, you know, these ghosts, I can walk into a house and actually see them standing there.
Now, you experience these hauntings differently than most others and most other psychics.
Absolutely.
Because you can actually see these events almost like a mini movie replaying themselves for you, but then you can also see the entities that are there. How often do you come across an entity that's just really pissed to have you there and doesn't want you messing and mucking about?
I never had it where they were angry that I was there.
Okay.
I think they were probably shocked that I could see them. I worked with a remote viewer named Ingo Swan, who was he was associated with the CIA for psychic spying years ago.
Sure.
And, you know, he heard about what I could do, and we met. He wanted to meet with me. He's kind of a recluse. And We met, and by the end of the day, he was very, very impressed because I was able to actually sit in his building and look around and tell him what was there years ago, and I could actually see people walking around. And he says, you know, I could see them too. You're the only person that could do that.
Hmm. So a remote viewer had been trained in this. Now, the remote viewers don't always have a psychic ability of their own that they've had. They actually develop it through the remote viewing, but they're able to actually see through time as well.
Right, and so we both have that in common. And because I had a very rough time of trying to sleep at night or even trying to function during the day because the images were, you know, kept on coming. I couldn't stop them. And so through him, and I really appreciate what he did, is he actually showed me a way that I could function by letting this information out of my head during the day so I could actually, you know, do my work and do what I had to do.
Do you ask the spirits to just leave you alone and they'll back off for a while? You say, listen, I really want to watch Friends tonight. Can you back off and then talk to me in half an hour?
Now, to put it very simply, it's more involved than this. He said, you have to actually think of a hole in the back of your head, and when a thought comes in, you have to think of it going out of the back of your head in that little hole. And it's more involved than that, but that's a simplistic way of saying it.
You know, it's funny, as we sit here doing the show, I watch Tim, and that's what's happening the whole conversation. Just pouring out the back of his head. Sorry, Tim. All right. Well, we've got the movies out there. It's called The Ghosts of Angela Webb. And you can look it out. It's made by Carl Petry, and that's K-A-R-L-P-E-T-R-Y. And, Carl, if people have a problem and they're looking for help, how can they contact you to get help? We have about a minute left here.
Let's see. They could probably contact me through email.
All right. And what email address would be best to reach you?
It would be Petry, P-E-T-R-Y-K-S.
K-S like Sam?
Like King and Sam.
Okay.
At AOL.com.
At AOL.com. And please keep that down.
At AOL.com.
Right. And if you, you know, probably be best just if you have a question, just go ahead and email the questions over to him. Don't add him to your buddy list and inundate him with questions on the chat. Have a little respect. Mr. Petry does have other things going on. So I'm sure as it comes, he'll be able to get to you an answer and help you out. And that's if you have a problem or a challenge in your area. Where exactly do you do most of your investigations so people know how to locate you?
In the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, but not limited to that.
Sure.
And I'm also very, you know, I just don't go out all the time, you know, doing investigations because in my situation, I'd go out of my mind.
Oh, no doubt.
Because I carry it with me and I see things and like different murder cases. Whatever I've held on to for quite a while.
Hmm. Well, Carl, I appreciate you being a part of the show with us tonight with Rosemary and sharing your story. Like I said, you have an open invitation to come back and talk to us more as you find out more events or if you have other cases that you're working on that you'd like to share with us and think would be interesting. Rosemary, thank you very much for bringing Carl to our attention and bringing him onto the show and sharing both his story and your story with us and your ideas. And again, for people that want to contact Rosemary, Rosemary, where can they email you or look up your information?
My website, I've got an email button on my website, visionaryliving.com, www.visionaryliving.com. I'd just like to mention that Carl and I will be presenting on the Ghosts of Angela Webb at the Eastern Regional Paranormal Conference in Gettysburg. The weekend of July 22nd and 23rd, we'll be presenting on Saturday the 22nd.
So, okay, and how can they find that information?
It's on my website on the calendar page, and it's also on www.marylandparanormal.com.
Well, thank you very, very much, both of you, for being with us this evening on the show. I appreciate it. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Make sure to tune in with us next week. We've got a special show lined up for you. From The Exorcist, we have Eileen Dietz. From the movie Child's Play, we have Andy, the little boy. His name is Alex Vincent, and he'll be with us. And Everybody Loved the Monsters, we've got everybody's favorite beautiful monster, Miss Pat Priest, will be joining us. Thank you very much for listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.